Greetings in Jesus' name. Consider it a privilege to be here with you this morning, and thank you for Andy for what you shared already, and what is truth, and yes, let's turn in our Bibles to Esther chapter 6 this morning, if you would. Kind of going to break in here. I think we all know the story of Haman. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather this morning in such a way. Father, we love you and we bless you. Lord, we just ask that you would come and be with us here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would feed your people and that you would multiply the few crumbs I have for your sheep here this morning. Father, we love you and bless you. Amen. So we're going to break in here. We all know the story of Haman. I'm just going to read some of this and comment on it. Then we'll start in verse 1. So this was, Haman had made a decree that he was going to kill all the Jews earlier on here, and the king couldn't sleep. And so on that night, the king could not sleep. He commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was written that Mordecai had told of Bigtha and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the kings of the door, who sought to lay on him King Ahasuerus, to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the court, into the outward court of the king's house, to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows which he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, let him come in." So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king love? To whom would the king delight to honor more than myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let his apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as it has said, and do even so to Mordecai, the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus it shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hastened to his house, mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, "If Mordecai be the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but surely fall before him." And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hastened to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, and I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he, and where is he, that doest presume to do in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. And then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the place, the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace into the place of banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, Will he force the queen also before me in his house, in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, it covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, Behold also, the 50 cubits high, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman has made for Mordecai, whom had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, Hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows, which he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. As we see here, leading up to chapter 6, Haman was riding high. He was pretty happy. Everything was going good for him, and it came down pretty fast. I'd like to share a little bit on selfishness and self and where it takes us. And Haman was full of himself. He was full of selfishness, and it was all about himself. And he was out to make a name for himself. And it didn't matter who was in his way. And in the end, he didn't just lose his life. He also lost the life of his sons and his family. In Esther 9:10, it says, The 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. So we think sin doesn't affect anyone else, but it does. And selfishness and self, I think self is the biggest, in our Christian life, I think it's the biggest thing we face. It all comes back to self. And something that I've been learning and continue to learn in my life, and have a lot to learn. The biggest hindrance in our lives is ourselves. The more of self there is, the less of God there will be. The more of God there is, the less of self there will be. The more of self there is, the less of God there will be. The more of God there is, the less of self there will be. We live in this world. We sleep in this world. We eat in this world. We work in this world. We have possessions in this world, but this world is not our home. Some thoughts that are going through my mind. And I think of the tremendous pressure that I don't think we realize the pressure that we live under. This world puts tremendous pressure on our lives. And it affects us. We think it doesn't affect us, but it does, more than we realize. In this world is so full of self. Everywhere we go, people we rub shoulders with, do business with, are so full of themselves. And if it doesn't benefit them, or if it's all about them, and I know that I have to watch myself and my life, that those things don't rub off on me, and I know that it affects me more than I realize. I just want to take us and just remind us that there's more to life than myself. There's a big picture. And I know that I'm very blessed with the church and you all minister and serve a tremendous amount. And I want to thank you for that. But there's hurting people, and there's people we can make a difference in this world. And yeah. There's a saying that we had on our fridge at home, a little poem, and kind of stuck with me for a while, and I think I'll just read it here. It's how to be perfectly miserable. Number one, think about yourself. Number two, talk about yourself. Number three, use I as often as possible. Number four, mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Number five, listen greedily to what people have to say about you. Number six, expect to be appreciated. Number seven, be suspicious. Number eight, be jealous and envious. Number nine, be sensitive to slights. 10, never forgive criticism. Trust no one but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors shown them. Be on the lookout for a good time for yourself. Shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others. Love yourself supremely. Be selfish. This recipe is guaranteed to be infallible. So yeah, there's many examples in the Bible I thought of, and selfishness and self, in the end it never comes out. You never come out ahead, and it never gains you. You come out opposite. You lose, and you come out at a loss. I had to think of, there was several examples, and I wasn't sure which ones all to bring, but just a gentle reminder. One saying that's, I'm not sure where it comes from. I know that I learned it from someone else, and it's something that's went through my mind for a while, and it's everything I have has been given to me. Everything I have has been given to me. Nothing I have that hasn't been given to me. And this, yeah. We come into this world with nothing, and we will leave with nothing. I would just like to remind us gently this morning of this. We look at the life of Jesus when he was here on this earth, and he is an ultimate example, but it says in John 5:19, few verses there. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these things also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Jumping down to verse 5:26. For the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And it was just amazing to me how, again, Jesus comes and he lives on this earth for 33 years, whatever it was there, and he couldn't do anything of himself, and here we are sometimes, and we think we're big macho men, and we can do it ourselves. But there's nothing that we can't have our own strength. If we don't have Christ living in us and his power, we can't do it on our own strength. And our self has to die, has to constantly go be nailed to the cross. And it's something that God's been teaching me and I've been learning in my life. Jesus is the most unselfish example we have. He came to this earth. He was always healing the sick and casting out demons, giving sight to the blind. And in the end, he gives his life for you and I. That's all I have. God bless you.